Go.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we stop performing, okay? We start getting honest about what it actually takes to change your life. Because let's be real, a lot of people talk about growth, but very few are willing to do the work when it's uncomfortable or messy or slow. And God did not call you to a life that looks good on the outside, but feels empty on the inside. He calls you into alignment, into truth, into becoming someone who can actually hold what you say you want. So whatever you've walked through, it is not wasted. It is shaping you. Let's get into that. Today's guest is Amy Linnaeus. Okay, I'm super excited to bring her into the hot seat. She helps people stop performing growth and actually live it. Okay. Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for coming into the hot seat today. And we're gonna light a fire right away. So out the gate, out the gate. Give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do? And what makes you special?
Oh, well, I'm so excited to be here. I love this already. My name is Amy Lenius. Like you said, I am an intrapreneur within a company called Next Level University, founded by these two amazing men who had me come in and brought me up into this third phase of their company. So the three of us go on podcasts. They have a daily podcast themselves called Next Level University. But what really drew me into them and all of the things that we do together was holistic. The word holistic self-improvement. I grew up really, really sick, and I fell in love with the word holistic on my healing journey. How everything affects everything else is what that means. And then here were these two guys talking about holistic self-improvement
Yeah.
and holistic success. And I was like, oh, I love that. So I started just being a part of their community, doing their things, book club, group coaching, beautiful things that they do. And they had me actually come in and MC their event for them one day. They knew I was a public speaker and they're like, why don't you come
Amazing.
MC our event? It's like, oh, I love that idea. Because my public speaking before all of this was in mostly natural health and women's health in particular.
Yeah.
Holistic healing for your hormones was my keynote that I did before I partnered with these guys. And everything just grew from there. I went into MC and then it was, okay, help us do these trainings. Let's, Kate, come in and be the third coach in group coaching. Now I have my own coaching with them. We do a live event once a year that's coming up, but it's all about personal development and success and how they go together, and you need to have both, and how they just, beautifully feed each other. But that's the pitch.
That's amazing. And I'm not digressing from your story, but I have to say, can you name drop the two guys that you work with? Because the next level coaching sounds really familiar.
Yeah, Kevin Palmieri and Alan Lazarus.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm obsessed. Okay. I just had Alan on the show. I super stalked him.
Yes.
I'm hanging out with you guys Saturday. Like, I'm very
Yay.
excited for that. So I'm like, this sounds so familiar. And just everything you're talking, I'm stalker obsessed. Like, it was the greatest conversation. So now I know, like, this is gonna be so I can relax a little. My pits are sweating, right? Because I'm always nervous in this show. But now I'm like, oh, I'm in good company. I'm so excited. This is amazing. So 100%, you guys, I vouch for her company and her work. We haven't even had the conversation. But let's start though. Let's get back to you. You talk about redefining success. I want to say, like, what are most people getting completely wrong about doing that?
Oh, about redefining success or just about their version of success in
Yeah.
general is typically it's not theirs. They're chasing something that has been told to them or that society says is successful. I see this especially in women. Oh my gosh, especially in women, because women can't win. You're either, successful because you're amazing and stay at home mom, and or vice versa, you're staying at home as a mom, you're not going to work. Like all of these things, there's so many different nuances there. But it's that, it's your own personal definition of success. And that's kind of the through line of what we give is that success is subjective. It is so subjective. Now, we love the idea of holistic success that you can, yes, be financially successful, but also healthy in love and have a fulfilling, meaningful life along the way.
And it's what I see that sucks when I've worked with, these high performing women, high income earners, all their stories were exactly the same. Every coaching session I would have, I'd be like, wow, I just talked to you 5 minutes ago. They're so empty and unfulfilled and unhappy, to the point where, I mean, sometimes ending it all seemed like a great answer. And I'm just like, how did people get so off track? And especially women, how did they get so off track to think that that money was going to do it, or that status, or that label, or, where did they get so off track with that?
Yeah. Upbringing,
Yeah.
society. I feel like it's nurture versus nature for a lot of us. Now, nature in women, we have a lot of nature in us to be caregivers, to be very giving, to be very nurturing, and those kind of things. And that's a beautiful thing. And we can use that in so many beautiful ways. But the detriment part of it, the people pleasing, the staying small, the not chasing things that really matter to you because you're told you're not supposed to, all of those things, that's all external. That's all external pressure that either comes from upbringing, just what you see in society, or both. And I see that same all the time. And it's so, I see it especially in self-worth. Self-worth is my favorite example because self-worth is an internal game. And yet women, and men do this too, but we kind of got on this lane of women. I see it more in women. To them, self-worth is external. And that makes so much sense because that's how we were brought up. Well, is she a good woman? Well, let's assess. Is she a good mother? Is she a good sister? Is she a good daughter? Is she a good pack member? Is she a good community member? Basically, what is it that she does for others that makes her worthy? And that's the external perception that gets put on us from a very young age. Who can we be in a room for other people? Do we need to be more and exciting? Do we need to be less than and dim? Do we need to, again, what value can we add to others is what makes us a good and worthy woman. And again, that's just keeping it very macro, but it's wild to see. And so when you start to change the dialogue of no, self-worth comes from inside. It's our internal standards, our boundaries, our promises we keep to ourselves, the investments we make, the persons, places, things, ideas we surround ourselves with and choose to consciously in an empowered way. That's self-worth. And you can build that. You can build that. If those kind of things are not resonating with you yet, that's okay. It is something that can be built. We are not born with a certain level of self-worth, this internal value. It is something that can be built. And that is a hard but worthy pursuit for sure.
Thank you for saying that is hard, because I feel like that toxic positivity culture just makes it seem like you can snap a finger and you're going to feel amazing. And I think self-development and that self-worth, like all of that stuff, is going to be continuing for the rest of my life, because I thought I mattered to myself 6 months ago. I made a bunch of changes. I've never mattered more to myself. And I imagine as it continues, as I grow as a person, as everything God's doing to shape and cultivate who he wants me to be, it keeps going. And so it's like going to the gym, right? Yeah, I go once and I'm like, where is the muscle? Where's the muscle? No, babe. It's like a long time to work on that. So I thank you for saying it's hard.
It is. And I mean, the work that is the most healing and the most transformative is hard. It doesn't feel good. And so I think, like you said, that toxic positivity, everything you see out there, especially online, oh, if it doesn't feel good, then it's not for you. Or if it's hard, maybe it's not meant for you. No, if it's hard, you're probably doing something right. If you're feeling really lonely, you're probably doing something right. Because you're doing more than the people around you. And that gets really lonely sometimes, but the work is worth it. And what happens is people say, oh, this is hard. So either I am not doing a good enough job, it's me, I'm the problem. Or the thing itself that I'm doing is not, this isn't a thing, this isn't real, this isn't for me. However, they want to disassociate from it. But that's really too bad because that's when they're typically about to scratch the surface of something really valuable.
I agree with you. I also think there's an issue with women too, that, you could say that to them and they're like, yeah, I really want to make myself, worth matter. But as you said earlier, like we're kind of raised with that we take care of everybody else. And so there's a cost of finding your self-worth, and you lose a lot of people because most of the people that you're serving in your life are only there for what they can get from you. And the minute you focus on you, unfortunately, upsets people, in a lot of ways. So I do think there's a price, and I wouldn't say it's different for women than it would be for men, because we are that person who, has to take care of the whole house before, you get your morning meditation. I don't know, whatever it is you do. Like it's just how moms are, women.
Absolutely. Others first, very others conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge part of self-worth is boundaries. That's kind of what you were
Yeah.
talking about there, is boundaries. And boundaries alone almost feel like you're doing something wrong at first.
Yeah.
It is that short-term discomfort that we need to embrace to have long-term peace, that we're not going to see the benefits of right away, and we're really going to struggle with it right away, especially if you're a people pleaser, especially if you're the martyr, especially
Yeah.
if you're others conscious first. When you put a boundary in place and you see the effects of that, you're putting a boundary in place, especially on someone who has benefited from you not having a boundary, it is met with resistance.
Yeah.
And that resistance to someone like that, the person of the picture we're painting,
Mm-hmm.
oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable and it doesn't feel good. But learning to sit in that discomfort and trusting that every time you do it, it gets a little bit less, almost to the point where once you build it up enough, you get excited when it happens because you know you just gained. You know you gained a self-respect point. You know you gained some more self-worth. But in the beginning, those boundaries are very, very challenging. And just speaking of external perception and what we're bombarded with on social media, I see people all the time setting rules instead of boundaries. Rules dictate other people. So someone's talking to you a certain way and you say, "Hey, you can't talk to me like that. Stop it. Don't do that." And they're like, "Oh, they're not respecting my boundaries." It's like, no, you're trying to control another person. You're telling them they can't say that. They kind of can. We can't control other people, but the boundary and why it's so uncomfortable is because boundaries are supposed to dictate self. The thing we actually only have control over is ourselves. So the boundary there is, hey, if you continue to speak to me that way, I am going to leave this conversation. And then you have to walk away. And that's tough. And they're going to get upset about that. But that's why it's so uncomfortable.
I mean, you're speaking so much truth. I want to ask you, where do you see people performing that growth, and what's the giveaway that they're not really living in it?
Oh, because they talk about it like it's sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Is it?
Yes. Yes.
Is it? Some of it is.
Yeah.
And some of
Yeah.
it you can learn to appreciate
Yes.
once you recognize why the heart is so important. But there's a lot of talking and a lot less doing. It's a very non-integrous space, actually. The space that we're in is people can talk a high level game, but if you're not doing the work yourself, if you can't speak on that work from a level of not only personal experience, but others' consciousness as well, because the work that I do that I have done for myself is going to show up very differently in someone else. And
Yes.
as someone who is dedicated to speaking into other people's lives, I need to be conscious and careful of that. So people who only speak one language as well is really, really important. Now, I don't mean different languages like English and French. I mean,
Right,
if you're
right.
talking to someone who has high self-belief, and then you talk to the same, if you talk to someone else in the same language who has low self-belief, you are doing more harm than good. And it's so important to know that.
I mean, I went through the toxic coaching culture of like paying people and realizing, and it makes me sad because I do think I was blessed with kind of a different awareness, but it was easy for me to start to see like this person has no fucking clue. They have no clue. They cannot relate to anything I'm saying right now, and they got all of their stuff out of a textbook. Like that fancy little degree that's going around, like, yeah, that's not serving me. And I thought, if I was less aware, that would have crushed me. And I would have been there forever because I would have thought I was broken because this person is telling me XYZ to change XYZ. I mean, I would have gone further into the depths rather than like coming out, and you are spot on of just like that language. You can't, you have to meet people where they are in that space. And if you haven't been through it, how can you really help other people, you know? And I do think, as far as you're talking about, like, you know, the toxic, like, oh, this is rainbows and butterflies. Like, I will talk positive about this side all day long, but I will say, like, it's still uncomfortable, you know? Am I, people are like, you're a great podcaster. Yeah, but the truth is, I still get nervous. Like, that part's real. I still get like in my head about it, you know, or even just when I'm setting boundaries. Been doing it forever. It still hurts. I just can process it different because I know it won't kill me. Now I'm like,
Yes.
oh, dang, that's going to suck for a minute, but like, let's move on. And now it sucks for a minute and I move on rather than it takes me out for 3 days. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? So,
Oh, they hate me. Did I make a mistake? Should I
yeah.
go back and apologize?
Yeah.
Those kind of things. And I think that's why these conversations are so important, because if you know that going in, if you know I'm going to set this boundary and it's going to feel really uncomfortable, but that's a part of it, then you're empowered to just accept it. If you know going in that there's going to be challenges, if you know going in that it's going to feel hard and there's going to be hard days, and if you know going in that growth isn't a solid line that goes upward in a trend line, it's highs and lows. But as long as the trend line over time is going up, you are winning.
You're
But there
winning.
are low days, there are peaks and valleys on that line of growth. I think the more these conversations happen, the more someone can sit with, okay, I'm in that moment that they talked about. It doesn't mean it's going wrong. It doesn't mean I'm doing something wrong. It doesn't mean it's not even necessarily working or not working. What can I do right now? Knowing that this was going to happen. And I think when we paint a picture of, oh no, it's all momentum, it's all great all the time, we do people such a disservice. And we're, causing more harm than good. But people say, no, people just want to hear the positive. They want to hear the exciting. I mean, maybe. But I would
I
way rather
yeah.
personally hear someone say, yeah, there's highs and lows. The work itself is worth it and it is great, but it doesn't feel good all the time. That's an empowered stance to take.
Nothing kept me stuck longer than the hype. The hype and the
Yes.
bullshit. I needed the truth and I needed it fast, or like I just wasted 5 years of my life because I thought the hype is where it was at. And I'm like, okay, but like this isn't where it's at, you guys. So I wholeheartedly agree with that. You rebuilt your life after chronic illness. I want to talk about that. Like, what did that bring out in you and what were you forced to face?
Yeah, so that brought out in me, and hindsight's 2020. You don't know this at the time, right? But that brought out in me a really high level of self-belief. So we've talked about self-worth being that internal game. That for me came later. That for me came in the last few years. I built high self-belief. Self-belief is self-efficacy. It's what you believe you're capable of achieving externally with enough time, energy, and effort. So through the constant trial and error and going after this health goal that I had, I built self-belief through the highs and lows of that. I grew up with something called endometriosis, so a very female hormone-driven condition. And it was a long time of first that victim state, that someone needs to help me, so I'm just going to fall into this system and do what they say, and there's nothing else that can be done if it doesn't really work. And that was my first few years, as I think is pretty common for a lot of people. What sucks is most people stay there on a chronic illness journey. Most people stay in that space, and that breaks my heart so much. But there was a moment in my early 20s where I was like, gosh, I've done all the surgeries, I've done all the drugs, I'm doing all of these stings, and I still feel like crap. What else can I do? What if I just started from scratch? What if I went off of everything, got to know my body again? I'm in pain and discomfort anyways, regardless of all the shit that I'm on. What if I stepped away and just tried something else? So I did. I came off of everything and I just started exploring different kinds of medicine. And I think so myself, I was in school for anatomy and physiology at the time as well. So I was learning about the human body and how amazing it is, how capable it is, how connected it is. And I had always been put in this box of, okay, you have a bunk uterus, basically, and we're not going to talk to you about anything else. We're not going to talk to you about your gut health, your liver function, the rest of your hormonal function. What about your sleep? What about your stress? What about your dietary choices? Like, what else can we do? And so I stepped away and started just experimenting with other modalities of health. I went into different, like, physical, like, acupuncture, cranial sacral therapy, I tried out a few times, physiotherapy. I found an incredible naturopathic doctor who helped me paint that holistic picture. And that got me a really long ways in my healing, more than I ever expected it could, just by, again, curiosity, finding things that worked, allowed time to pass. I think that is a big one now, because we're in this age of instant gratification. And if it's not working now, it's not going to work. Everything needs time. All journeys need time. And so I gave myself time to try these things, to do these things, to implement these things. And then I started feeling better and better and better. And then someone came along later and was like, well, what about your external environment? What about endocrine disruptors and these things? I was like, oh, just another piece of the puzzle that no one else had talked to me about. And I had to stumble across on my own. And that's when I fell in love with that word holistic, like I said in the beginning, but how everything affects everything else. You are not just a piece. Your health is not just a small piece of you. It's your entire body, your like physical, mental, and emotional, and your spiritual. There's so much that goes into that. Just like your internal environment is a community that engages with your external environment, and they affect each other deeply. So again, falling in love with these two guys, Kevin and Alan, who talked about it from a success standpoint, from a personal growth standpoint, about how, yes, we can all find success in our own unique way because success is subjective, but let's do it in a fulfilling way. Let's do it in a we can all have health, wealth, quality of life, and love kind of way. And all that spoke to me so much.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I, very much agree it's everything. And I'm one of those people where my brain like tries to attack everything at once. And I think what's incredible is that, you did it one step at a time instead of, I feel like don't go down the rabbit hole of everything at once, 'cause let's just try one thing at a time. And what I think is really incredible and beautiful that you did is that you realize you have to trust your body. And that is the truth for everybody. Healthcare is a business. It's a business, and they're not taught that all of those things matter. And they're not going to teach you that that matters because this is what they learned the school books. It's like my toxic coaches, right? It's like, this is what's in the book. This is what we need to do, X, Y, Z. They take pieces out of it. And I feel like, no matter what, it's like someone gets a cancer diagnosis, they're dead in 3 months. Someone else gets a cancer diagnosis, they've been cancer free for a decade. Mentally, I think everything shifts, and doctors don't teach you that. Like they're missing so much of that.
Yes.
But the fact, you took it one piece at a time, and then when you were ready, the next step showed up. And I feel like that's how God works for us. Like, you work on this, you pick your one thing, you work on that, and when you're ready, the next answer is going to be right there. That's opportunity there will present itself as you're ready. So I mean, your journey is amazing. How do you know when how would my listener today understand that they are just out of alignment with themselves right now?
Oh, I mean, we all are in some way, always. Like you said, there's something holding us back from that next level, if you will. And learning to recognize what that next thing is, it is, it's a skill, but it's also something that you need to discover. But you can always feel it. You can feel when you've really settled into what you've learned. Like you said, you take things on one at a time, which is really, really important to be able to do because that's sustainable. And you can't have consistency and real foundational identity building stuff without it being sustainable. It needs to be not all at once, but brick by brick. That's so important. And especially as very high functioning, high self-belief women, we love to, oh, I can do it all. I can do it all at once. And now you're piecing it together with these crumbly little pieces. And so it's really, really important to pick your, one to three things and go in on all of that. And then, like you said, the next thing is going to be more available to you, and you're actually going to be able to see it because now you're the person who can. And I love that. I think that's so valuable. So mine, I came into, even just as an example, I came into this company with very high self-belief. They gave me this opportunity. Do you want to MC at our event? It's a personal development event. I was like, well, I've never done that before. I've done public speaking, but not on this topic. But yes, and I'll figure it out. That's a high self-belief move. But that was this moment of, oh, here's this next thing that I've maybe never considered, but I'm going to say yes. And coming in on this journey, Alan was the one who taught me the difference between self-belief and self-worth. And he could see that I had really high self-belief and my self-worth was really low. Again, the martyr, self-abandoning, will do so much more for others than myself always. And so I've been working now on that lens for the last couple of years, just honed in self-worth, self-respect, self-esteem, those kind of things. And what a difference. Like you said, you're different than you were 6 months ago. And you know that that's going to continue to trend because you continue to do this work. It's that. Don't be the person who's looking for the end. There are milestones. There's exciting milestones
And
along the
celebrate.
way.
Yeah,
and celebrate those.
fabulous.
That's a part of building self-belief and self-worth, is that celebration moment. So you build it into the identity so that you don't end up somewhere and be like, oh, I have imposter syndrome because I don't know how I got here. No, so celebrate those milestones because that builds it into your identity. That's really, really important. But yeah, that self-worth piece, that was that next puzzle for me. It's like, oh, I absolutely have low self-worth. Oh my goodness. I had components of it. I was really good at investing in myself. I wasn't detrimental with comparison and things, but mine was social courage and boundaries. Those two were terrible for me. And you start, once you see them, you can't unsee them. And so again, that learning and growing every day, you're gonna start to see where you're stuck and where you're not, where you're thriving. And so double down on the area where you're stuck, allow the way you're thriving to just go because it's already there. But when you're hitting these ceilings and hitting these blocks or not getting to that next level, it's not because you're already doing something or you're already believing in something enough. It's because you aren't. It's because you're not doing something. It's because you don't believe in something enough, or a belief needs to shift. Maybe it's against it versus for it. And that's what I love about goals. Goals, instantly, if you set a goal for the future, every decision you make now is either for or against the goal. And that is such a helpful lens. It really is. If you can see the goal, you can also now start to assess the persons, places, things, ideas, even beliefs. Well, does this belief get me closer to the goal, or is this actually keeping me away of it? This belief that I'm not worthy of success, that's not getting me closer to the goal. That's something I need to work on.
I think I just two things, because you were talking about consistency, and I just it's so hard for people even when they want to change. But then I also my brain, I thank you for your patience with my brain, because it's doing its thing. That there's this whole culture of like manifesting, right? And I fell for it. I fell for it, and I was like, I could just think my way to this better life. So I would write the goal, and I never filled in the pieces in between. And I would hype everybody. I'm like, babe, guess what I'm going to do in 2 years? This is guess where this is going to be. But like, I never did anything. And then through my own, my relationship with Christ really is what saved me in more ways than one, literally and figuratively. Where I realized, like, what did I even do today for that goal? Like, meditating for 2 hours to like hope and wish and pray it's going to happen, when, the Bible tells me clearly, like, take the action. You go first. You go first for everything. And I think so many people right now, because I see like the vibes and the manifesting, and much respect, I had to go through it to grow through it. Okay. I had to see it for myself. So I understand. But it really is like writing down your goal and being able to ask yourself, I have a 1 year goal right now for something pretty big. And so every day I'm like, what did I do to move the needle? And I will have a completely off day, like a completely off day. And I'm like, what is like one simple little thing that I can go to sleep knowing I just did one little thing? Maybe it's just an email, you guys, or like a text message, or a reply to someone. Like, what is just one little thing? And then other days, I do 1,000 things, and I'm like, wow. But like every single day, it's just like one little thing, so that whether or not I make my goal in a year, I will have the proof and truth of what I did, what I could do different, what served it, what didn't. I recalibrate, right? I'm not going to be further away from it, but if I track it, I kind of can learn how to get closer.
Yes. And that's just it. Oh my gosh. So you're speaking our language. You're speaking the language of unsexy fundamentals.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff no one wants to hear about, but yet everyone almost needs to do. And I hate to say the word need, but if your goals require it, you do need to do it. You do. And then if you don't get them, it's because you didn't do the things you needed to do. And that's not fun and sexy to say. But if you can learn to track, and if you can learn just that, even the Alan's the math guy, but 0.1% of something every day compounded over years is wild what transpires in the numbers. So if you can invest, like you said, move the needle every day, and some days you're going to crush it. Some days you're going to give 100% to something, and other days you don't have 100% to give. Maybe you only have 20%. It's a hard day. But what of that 20% can you give? What does that 100% of 20% look like? And that, even there's grit and grace in that. And those are two, they seem to be opposing, but they're very important to have together. Okay, I'm having a crap day. I only have like 20% energy to me. So where can I have grace that this is not going to look like my 100% day? And where can I have grit to move the needle just that 0.1%? And that, like you said, it can be an email. It can be on my days, it can be me checking WhatsApp. We're big in WhatsApp. We have so many communities of incredible people in there. That's me checking that. That's 0.1%. But there's also, you know what? I don't maybe don't need to send that email today. Maybe it's what can I learn? Because every goal has a most important skill that you need to develop or double down on to get to. So maybe you just pour into that skill that day. Maybe it's a podcast, a couple pages of your book, build that skill. There's most important tasks for every goal. There's most important skills, most important habits. And how can you tap into one of those things? And you're going to get there because you cannot be consistent without sustainability. And doing things at 100% every day is not sustainable. You'll never get there. You're going to crash and burn. You're going to give 100% for 3 days, hate your life, and do, take 4 days off. And then you're not leveraging the compound effect very well.
And I know, my brain is neurospicy. So I'm that person. Like, I have an idea. I'm going to go hard for a week and then it's done. I'm done. What can I do next? It's always the starting, right? That's the sexy part. Starting is hot, you guys, right? Having an idea lights me up. I just get an idea and I'm like, I remember when I was drinking heavily and I would have this great idea and I'm like, let's go get drunk and celebrate. You know where that idea died? At the bottom of a shot glass. Like, it never went anywhere. And I would have incredible ideas and but I would celebrate so soon. And then I'm like, hold on a second. Whole recalibration with the neurospicy brain. So, we think a little different, but that, consistency. God, it is not sexy. Discipline is not sexy, but it's necessary. And everyone's coddling everyone else, when really the truth is probably the biggest thing that motivated me was Gary Vee. He said, get the fuck over yourself. And I was like, why do I feel that in every cell of my body? Like, who do I think I am that I could just wake up and everything's going to be handed to me? It's never been like that. Do I think because my life was hard that stuff's just going to fall into my lap? Do I think because I had a bad childhood that, the magic make-a-wish fairy is going to show up and be like, oh, Brandon, this is what you want? Sure, here. Even now, in the consistency, I see, like, I could ask myself, like, why did this never happen before? I wasn't ready. I see that so clear. Like, that brand needed to be here. And every conversation I have here in this show is getting me ready for who I need to be in a year when I hit my goal. And that is when you see the beauty in that, there the goal's going to be cool, but like that goal launches me to something else. And like that's sexy. So maybe not the everyday grind. It's necessary. The same thing about my workouts, right? I'm obsessed with Alan. How do you never miss a day of working out for like 1,000 years? Like, how is that possible? Because I'm still, it's a love hate for me. I love when I do it, but I hate starting. It's not my favorite. So I still have to do it. Weights aren't going to lift themselves. You know what I'm saying? So if I want to steward my mind appropriately, I'm going to take care of my body because it's all connected.
Oh, it
All.
is. It is all connected. And the reason Alan has his streak, the reason I have my fitness streak is because of Alan. Again, I can share with you, even from a fitness lens, where the consist we have something called the consistency star. Again, just a super unsexy framework, but that is full of all the fundamentals, and it is how I myself have been able to move my body for over 1300 days now
Yeah, yours is
in some
1300.
way.
See, I'm obsessed with you guys. I'm like fangirling out. Just I want to grow into I have a desire right now to be able to do that. So,
Oh, I'm
and I'm
excited
pretty
for you.
good. I mean, my streak is, I think I missed one day in 2 months. I missed one whole day of like not doing anything, like not moving my body, not getting on the treadmill, not lifting a weight. I didn't do anything. So, not proud
That's
of
still
that,
amazing.
but like I'm going to
Still
celebrate
amazing,
the
though.
fact, like, I'm doing the damn thing. And it's not 100% every day. Not every day am I doing, 10 miles a day. Not every day am I doing the heavy lifting. I'll just, do some body resistance. Like it applies everywhere. It
It
applies
does.
everywhere. I
And
love that.
especially for women, because we're very different every day. Our energy, our Everything physical, mental, emotional is different for us every day. So I can't even compare my physical streak to Alan's whatsoever. He's a dude.
He's a
He is
beast.
like the sun. So men are like the sun. They are on a 24-hour hormonal cycle every day. So hormonally, they're the same every day, like the sun is up and down. Here we go. Women are like the moon. We're slightly different every day.
Every day.
And especially, we look different week to week to week. We have high energy seasons, low energy seasons. And when women don't understand this, they'll look in when they're in their low energy season, and they'll look back and be like, oh, a week ago, I was crushing it. I was consistent. I was being able to stick to my diet. Now I'm staring at chocolate and I'm a potato, and it's this whole thing. You are not set up to be the same as you were last week. So there
No.
needs to be that grace and understanding. And where the consistency thing comes in is if you can understand that you can't give 100% every day, that's already going to serve you. It really is. But the belief level matters too. So if you can picture a star, 5 points, the bottom left is number one, it is self-belief. What do you believe it's possible? So when Alan was coaching me on wanting to be more physically fit and physically active, again, I have a bad narrative about my body because I grew up very sick. And so I kind of believe my body is this broken piece of garbage that isn't
Can't
capable
trust
of very
it.
much. Exactly. But I would always go from 0 to 10, kick up my inflammation, and put myself down for a couple weeks and be like, see, fitness isn't for me. Nope, mistake. So going from 0 to 1, however, that's the way, again, unsexy, but here we go. So he assessed my belief first. That's step one in consistency. What is your level of belief? So layers of belief are really important. Do you believe it's possible? So I believe it's possible for people to work out every day. I do. We see it, right?
For sure,
Do
for
I
sure.
believe it's possible for me? Two different answers, always, right? I was like, oh no, not me. They have something I don't, right? Especially for Alan. I was like, Alan, I grew up sick. Don't act like you know me. Like, nope. I wanted to, you know. And he was like, no, listen, hear me out. And then he's like, okay, so you don't believe it's possible for you. Do you believe it's going to be worth it? Those are the three layers of belief. Is it possible? Has it been done? Is it possible in this world to do it? Is it possible for me? And is it going to be worth it? Which one of those layers do you not believe in yet? Okay, so mine was, I don't believe it's possible for me. Of course, it's going to be worth it. That would be amazing to honor my body physically every day. Absolutely. So, okay, so we just need to find the layer you believe in. He's like, okay, 0 to 10. 1 to 10. Alan hates 0 to 10. 1 to 10. He's such a numbers guy. He's my favorite. Dude's my freaking hero. Seriously. The fact that I get to just have access to him and work with him and
I am in
get,
awe, but you have so
oh,
much magic too. So now I'm telling
thank
you,
you.
10 to 4, like in a week from Saturday, I cannot wait. I haven't done anything like that for a long time because
You're gonna come to the live
yes,
event?
I'm coming. Not
Oh my gosh,
physically.
I'm so
I'll be
excited. No.
online in my cozy computer watching, but I am obsessed. I'm obsessed.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I'm so excited for you. So I fly down in a couple weeks. I fly down there to go do that event
Nice.
with. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited you're coming. So, self-belief. So he asked me, so on, from 1 to 10, do you believe you could go to the gym and work out every day? I was like, right there, Alan. No. First of all, I live in a small town on a dirt road that doesn't even have a gym. No, I'm not commuting 45 minutes every day to the gym. I homeschool my kids. I have like just,
We are the
So right
same
there.
person. Oh my
Right.
goodness.
So there's the ceiling. He's like, okay, so that's a zero. I don't believe I can do that. He's like, now we just need to find it. He's like, so you don't need to want to go to the gym every day. I said, absolutely not. He's like, okay, home workouts. There we go. We're creating this level of belief. Do you believe you could do something from home every day? Yeah, I do. Amazing. Do you think you could do it for hour like for an hour? Ellen, I'm a very busy person. I have a very full life. I have animals, property, home, my business, all of it, homeschooling. He's like, okay, perfect. So that right there, again, you don't believe that's possible yet. So where do, and then we found it, okay, half hour. My whole thing is I am going to move my body in an aligned way every day for a half hour. Now, notice it doesn't say I'm going to lift weights every day for a half hour, because right there, not sustainable for me. It's done. I won't do it. So what is your wording and picture that you believe in? That's step one. And step two is humility. You actually need to have humility to be able to say, okay, coach, I haven't actually been able to work out every day. I haven't even been able to be consistent in working out ever. That's humility. Humility is just self-accuracy. It's not inflating. Oh, yeah, you want me to work out every day? Of course I can do that. That's inflating. It's not, oh, I don't believe in myself at all. That's dimming. It's where is your self-accuracy? And it takes humility to be able to create something that's sustainable, which is step three. So sustainability, again, is what that picture we painted, 30 minutes. What's the time? It's always good to have a time blocker, a number you can put something to, because then you can track it. And tracking's really, really important. So much neuroscience behind that. Again, the streak, having a 1300 day streak, do you think I'm going to break that?
No.
Absolutely not. But what I have had to do on some days to keep that going, we're going to bring in grace and grit here in a minute. Humility creates sustainability. It is humble for me to say, in the face of someone like Alan, who is really great, where I want to like almost impress, right? People have this thing to impress. Don't do that. Your goals don't want you to do that. If you are inflating, you are building on an unstable foundation and you will crash and burn because you don't have the foundation there. The consistency, the point of it is to build the foundation. So where are you self-accurately? Sustainability. What is the sustainable goal? Well, mine, the sustainability pieces are from home, 30 minutes, and it's something of my choosing that day. It is what I can fit in. Maybe it is a hike with my kids. That counts because I moved my body in an aligned way. Now, over time, over these 1300 days, it has evolved. But in the beginning, this is how it worked for me. If I went for my walk around the dirt loop that we have and things, and it took a half hour, that counts, right? Anything I can do, mobility counted, right? And I work with a couple bodybuilder bros. It doesn't count for them unless they're like, wah. But for me, mobility counts. These things that I needed to bring in on, let's say heavy period days or on days where I was sick and unwell, but I wasn't going to break the streak. You can just do these beautiful long form stretches and things that are still going to honor your body when you're not feeling good. That is number four. It's adaptability. It might as well be called grace, but having a form of your habit that is adaptable. What is your 100% of this? And what is your 10%? How can you check the box? Like you said, just send the email. That's you checking the box. What is that for this habit? There are days where I have 100% to give and I crush it. I lift weights, I do a mile on the treadmill. I'm like, here we go. And then there's days I was really sick a couple weeks ago. It was a nice little walk in my little driveway loop to get some sun and just do it. And then it was mobility on the floor. And just I have these tiny little like 1 pound weights. I'll leverage those, right? It's just little things that you can do because I still want to honor the promise I made to myself. I still, that's a self-worth thing and a self-belief thing. Those cross over. But you need to have an adaptability because life is reactive. There's only so much proactivity you can have. And if you have others in your life, especially spouses, kids, pets, a home where a freaking wire goes or a flood happened, like it's so reactive. There's so much going on all the time that you're just reacting to. So have this bare minimum check the box version because you will be able to be more consistent if you allow yourself to do that. So adaptability. And then on those days where you only have that 10%, it sucks. You don't want to do it. Again, it's super unsexy. You don't want to do it. But what's so exciting is number five is grit. On the days where you have that 10%, you are going to have to pull in some grit. You are going to have that fuck my feelings moment and pull in the grit. But what's so exciting, and when you start getting excited about this, is when you don't want to do something and you do it anyways, you get double the points. You get double the self-belief points, double the self-worth points, double the, oh my gosh, I can do this identity points. It's okay if it was half-ass. It's okay if you just check the box, but you did it anyways, especially when you didn't want to. Like that's when it counts. When you're at 100% and you're just like, oh, I can get this done, this done, this done, this and this done. Yes, it's amazing, but it's not pulling on you as, oh, the grit human and the things that it actually takes to reach these goals. The days when it's hard, that's what builds you to the person who can hold more.
I
And
couldn't
then
agree
the
more.
star starts again. It grows over time. You gain more capacity, you gain more belief, you can build out the sustainability. I wasn't lifting weights and doing miles and things in the beginning. I am now because I've expanded, because I was able to do it for 1300 days and I didn't start there. I built to there. And you can run that framework with everything. You can run it with social media. You can run it with business. You can run it everything because it is just a bunch of unsexy fundamentals that allows you to leverage the compound effect every day.
That's amazing. And I'm just in awe. You guys are there. There's something in the water you guys are drinking. I don't know, but whatever it is, I want it. I just want it. And I didn't even watch the clock, and we're way over time. And I love that because it happened. I'm pretty sure it happened with Alan as well. And it's fine, right? That's whatever. It's my show. I could do what I want.
Exactly.
Let me ask a last question here to get us towards the end here. Let me see. What is one hard truth that someone listening needs to hear if they feel stuck right now?
This is one of my favorites. And I feel like I've talked a lot about Alan, but Alan says this: what are you doing right now that is disguising itself as good, as positive, as proactive, as building that really isn't? If you can sit with that, what is something I have convinced myself is worth my time, energy, and effort that actually probably isn't? I see that a lot. We do a lot of self-abandonment in convincing ourselves that something we need to do, and typically it's a belief that has been placed in us by other people or a responsibility from others. And again, everyone's so different, but it's typically something like that that you're embodying that isn't even yours, that you're so stuck to, but is not for your goals. It's not for the person that you want to become, and it's hard to let that go. But it's worth it. It really is.
Yeah. Ideally, you're speaking to the busy person, not the productive person, the one who is busy filling their time with so many things, being pulled in all those
Yes.
directions rather than productive. And that is a hard
Yes.
lesson. That's a hard lesson to learn because you're letting go of something that, you probably have connected to identity, something that you have connected to winning because someone else's chapter 30 influenced your chapter one. And yeah, all of that is amazing.
And busy is sexy nowadays.
Yeah, the
Oh,
hustle
how was your
culture, let's
weekend?
get it.
Oh, I'm
Yeah.
so busy. Oh, so busy. Like, doing what? Is it
Right.
important?
Yeah. Right. And if you're busy and it's important, that's amazing. Like, that's me with this
Right.
show. I'm busy as hell and I love it. And it's not even work. So who cares? Like, it's growth. It's my growth session. It's my expansion time. Like, this is like the easiest part of my day. I also am a homeschool mom. So literally it's the easiest part of my day to come in here and have these conversations. So busy, having your time fulfilled is different than keeping yourself occupied so you don't have to look in the mirror, basically. So I think you guys are doing. You're
Fair.
like, oh, if I just scatter myself, I don't have to see the truth and what it's really going to cost me or the price I have to pay today. How can people find you? How do they work with you? How do they connect with you?
I'm a very simple being. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. That's about it. And it's just at Amy Lenius. And if you private message me there, you do get me. I'm sure Alan talked about this as well, but we deeply believe in human connection, especially
Yes.
as the world progresses the way that it is. You don't get an assistant, you don't get AI, you do get us in our private messages, and we love to answer questions. And even if the things we talk about resonate with you, all of our first calls are free, always. And there's so many free things that we offer within the community as well as paid. But everything we do, we try and do in a way that is sustainable for other people's growth. You talked about the full day event. It's from 10 to 4. You get an immersive experience with Kevin, Ellen, and myself, and it's $47. We do that on purpose. We're very dedicated to seeing people win in this world and people we believe in. We only handpick, invite people for that event for a reason, because it's people that we want to pour into. But if you're a heart-driven leader in this world doing great things and you want to be involved in stuff like that, we want to help you.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited for that. By the way, I've told the whole family, I'm like, don't 10 to 4 Saturday, because usually Saturdays and Sundays are family days. But I'm like,
Course.
not you guys. I just feel so pulled to it. Not only that, he invited me, but I knew right away, like, I just want to be, you want to stay where the fire is warm. And you guys are on fire, like
Yes,
hot.
I'm
So,
very grateful to say that we are right now.
yeah. I love that. So, Amy, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. It's not just that you talk about growth, it's that you have lived the kind of growth that forces you to build something from the inside out. And you don't sell surface level bullshit change. Okay, you're here to be honest. You're helping people to get honest, to take massive responsibility and actually become who they're meant to be. And the world needs more people like you. Unfortunately, especially now, real is rare. And I think you're stewarding your potential in an amazing way. God bless your journey, everything that you're doing. I mean, I think you're amazing. I think that's what makes you special. To everyone listening, you don't have to keep performing a life that doesn't feel right. God did not create you to live out of alignment of who you actually are. You're supposed to be growing. You're allowed to grow, to change, and to make different choices. That's all. But you have to be honest and you have to be grounded. And those are the things that make you super magnetic. And I would say Amy is super magnetic, and we all want to be more like Amy. Okay, so please take notes. Please remember your message, even the parts of you that you've had to rebuild, even the seasons that broke you open, even the moments that, you didn't recognize yourself. That's where your power is. And if you've been feeling that pull to use your voice, to share your story, to actually say something that matters, number one, this show is for you. Okay. But you also don't have to wait until it's perfect. Maybe you need your own show. I created a podcast support group really quick. It's a space where you can start. I don't gatekeep. I tell you, like, keep it simple, keep it real. With AI and all the things, like, there's going to be a piece of humanity that's missing in a couple of years. And I think, podcasting is where you can best represent humanity and keep your voice and reach the most amount of people. It's going to reflect who you are, and you don't have to overthink it. So if that's been in your heart, come and join me here. Make sure you guys share this episode, okay? Amy can't reach the person she needs to reach right now unless you do a really selfless thing, and that is to share this out. Share it on your socials, share it with a friend, share it with your mom. I don't care who you share it with. Make sure you leave a review. Stars are cute, but like, it just takes a couple seconds to type some fancy words, okay? Love it or hate it. Maybe you're a toxic culture coach and you hate what we're saying. Like, I want to hear about it. That's cool. Let me know that it struck a nerve. But definitely leave the review, you guys. It'll reach the right people. And if y'all are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Amy, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. This was such a pleasure.